Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday at the Omni Nashville Hotel here at Bar Lines. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier. Back on the ones and twos at the studio. Having some fun talking about the college football coaching carousel. I guess the rumor, Robbie texted me, I guess the rumor on Arkansas message boards is Dabo leaving Clemson and coming to Arkansas. I don't see that.
You lost me at message boards.
Yeah.
No. Right? Those people, you guys are insane on message boards. The Dabo thing is interesting. I'm not sure. They love him. I mean, every Clemson fan I know loves Dabo. And I think they got a good pulse on there. So I think Dabo stays.
I do too.
I think they like Dabo being a Clemson guy and loving Clemson, and all the fan base likes that. It's funny you start with your friends that go to certain schools, like Franklin to Auburn. My Auburn fan friends are like, no way in hell do you want him. And so you get very particular on that. But, again, you can't tell me. You can tell me who you don't want, but there's never who we do want. I mean, if you're an LSU fan, do you want John Sumrall? I mean, he's only got 2 years at Tulane, but he's done well, respected, good coach. I don't know, I mean, of all that to see that goes in there. Or do you want James Franklin to come to your program? Is that something you would like to see him in LSU? So I don't know, but there's – you tell me who you don't want, tell me who you want.
Yeah. 0862 says, rumor has it Pat Fitzgerald is probably going to go to Michigan State at the end of the year. That would be a really good fit for him.
I think.
He's a Big Ten guy.
He is a Big Ten guy. That program is a complete disaster.
They need somebody like that.
Right.
So I think if Fitzgerald ended up at Michigan State, Derek Mason, you'd be happy with that.
What's this? Did I miss this? The college football chair?
Yeah, I was about to get to that. So
what?
Because that's what I was talking about with Baylor. He's the Baylor AD. So Mac Rhodes, he's on a leave from Baylor and his role with the playoff. He's stepping down for personal reasons. College football executive director Rich Clark told ESPN on Thursday that Rhodes will step down from his role with the committee at this time for personal reasons. The CFP likely will try to replace Rhodes and will work on naming a new chair. He intends to leave that he initiated the leave from his Baylor role but declined to explain why.
So the group was already down one member already. Because Randall McDaniel stepped away for personal reasons, what Archie Manning did a long time ago.
So what this is Adam Rittenberg's reporting the university received allegations involving Rhodes on Monday. The allegations do not involve Title IX, student welfare, or NCAA rules, and do not involve the football program, indicating it is a separate incident from Rhodes' alleged altercation with a football player during a September game.
Oh, and now he's gone. Our good friend Chris Massaro, MTSU athletic director, is on this committee. And I know it's an honor to be on this committee. There's no way I'd get on this committee. God bless Chris for doing this. Because he's smart, he knows what he's talking about, and he knows football like that. I would not be on this committee at all.
Mean, look, if I was in a position like Chris at a school like MTSU, I would do it. Because I get it. I mean, it helps elevate not only you but your school.
Yep.
To have that – you know, Baylor is the same way. I mean, I'd put Baylor in that program too.
How are you already down a guy? That's a few months ago. I thought they had all the committees set, and they're already down one person.
Well – we know something's going to come out. I mean, obviously, there's something going on.
I mean, this is a committee where tens of millions of dollars and jobs are on the line, and you go to it and you already got a guy down? Now you got two guys down?
Yeah.
I had no idea that was going on like that. That's terrible.
Arkansas AD Hunter Yurachek has been nominated as the new CFP committee chair, while Utah athletic director Mark Harlan has been nominated to replace Rhodes on the committee, a source told ESPN. The CFP Management Committee, which is made up of the 10 FBS commissioners and Notre Dame athletic director Pete Bavakwa, has to approve the moves.
As it wasn't already stressful enough, now you got to deal with all that. Man, what chaos.
Here's the other thing on this committee. Why would you not have, like, some retired coaches on it?
I think they wanted people who were active right now in the game.
But, I mean, like, Saban or...
Because they're smart.
Yeah.
They don't want any part of this nonsense.
But, I mean, would you not, looking at this from our perspective, if you knew a Nick Saban or, I mean, hell, even Spurrier, you know, like guys that have won championships, that have coached at a high level, that know football, that still live and breathe football, if they're on it, you know, would you not feel a little bit better about things?
I think it would look better from an outside view, but I don't know. I think they wanted guys who are active with ADs and presidents because presidents oftentimes think they are the smartest people ever, and we know that they're not, and they think they know athletics, and they don't, and that's why. But, yeah. But, again, I mean, you had Saban up there and a few others. I mean, like Herb Street, when he did the Florida State thing a few years ago and they went after him, you saw right there why I would not be on the committee.
Yeah.
Not be on the committee. And now they're griping and everything. And now the report's coming out, well, you're going to 16, but you know, if you do 32 teams, you don't have a problem. And you go 32, what's going to happen? Team 33 and 34
are going to be
bitching.
Pissed off. Yep.
And on and on and on and on. Make a hard line in the sand. It's 16 next year, which I get it, whatever, but –
16 needs to be the max.
Yeah, and that's what it is. But, I mean, I just can't believe they went into how important this is with one person down on the committee. I had no idea they were one short. But, again, I love football. I love football. I would not be on that committee one bit. Because you think I got heckled bad at Key West the other night. I mean, I'd make this really personal.
Yeah.
I would. No, sure. Richard. Not at all.
Shut up, Richard.
That's kind
of. Finally, an hour and 9 minutes of the show, you finally brought it up. Thank you, Dr. Gray.
What was that?
It's Shut Up, Richard from Tommy Boy.
Oh, okay.
I was just trying to find the right time to use it.
Yeah, there you go. That's
all right. Well, don't be scared about it, man.
Oh, I'm not. Don't worry.
That's what she said.
I think you are a little scared.
Shut up, Joe.
We'll put Nick. You know who needs to be on the committee? Dr. Crane.
He should
makes
be.
Everybody happy.
Yeah.
They'll be like, all right, and our 12th and final team, Mississippi State.
Absolutely not.
At 4-6. All right. Well, you got some qualifications to be there. Thank you.
Somehow drop into the group of five.
Yeah, the group of five school Mississippi State represents.
He put Southern Miss in.
Oh, man.
Just a random team. But, yeah, it'd be fun. Be a good time.
Big F-O-Show.
F-O-Show. Coming up next, there's an interesting one now about another carousel, and that is NFL quarterbacks and how that could all change next year. We'll discuss that. And much more live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel here at Barlines. Come by and see us. Clay's hanging out. Jake's hanging out. Having a good time here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5. The game here on this Thursday, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Barlines. So now looking at, you know, as we're halfway through the NFL season, obviously the Titans are what they are. We know that. Not much going to change. But what about some quarterback movement? And look, for those of you thinking that the Titans need to go get another quarterback, and if they have the number one overall pick, get Mendoza or whatever, it ain't going to happen. They don't need to do it. The kid that Cam Ward has been thrown into a terrible situation, so I think you need to pump the brakes there. But that's just my opinion. So Bill Barnwell has done this 2026 NFL offseason, teams that could change quarterbacks next season. And he starts with different categories. On their way out, the first one he has is Kyler Murray with the Arizona Cardinals. He has on the books for 2026 $42.5 million, which $39.8 million of that is guaranteed.
Gosh.
$19.5 million in 2027 if on the roster. In that next year, if he's traded before June 1st, they can save $35.3 million in cap space, $39.8 million in cash. If he's cut before mid-March, that really doesn't do him much good. So it would be a June 1st kind of thing with with Kyler Murray, but look, I think he's done.
If I know you're going to be on the hook for that much money and you're my opponent, tough.
Yep.
Tough, you know what? I about said it.
Yep.
Tough, you know what, man? I'm not helping you out.
Tough stuff.
Tough stuff. Let you no, you signed him to that stupid contract. You're the guy who's going to pay. I'm not going to help you out at all.
Yeah. Geno Smith with the Raiders.
Awful.
Yeah.
I think Pete Carroll should be gone. I mean, they're terrible. I know they beat the Titans, doesn't say much, but terrible. That game the other night, 10-7, or a week ago, terrible.
Justin Fields with the Jets. He's terrible.
What's wrong with him?
I mean,
he was so good at Ohio State.
Yeah, he's just not a starting quarterback.
But he's had 18 chances to get it done.
Potential retirees. Matthew Stafford with the Rams. If they win the Super Bowl, he'll retire.
Yes, I agree. But he's having fun.
He is. Aaron Rodgers with the Steelers.
Goodbye.
He needs to retire.
That game, that effort he put on Sunday night was brutal. Didn't move.
Yeah.
Just stood there.
I don't think he can. I don't think he can anymore. Would move if they could. Here's a one-person tier for a quarterback whose contract might make it difficult to move, albeit not impossible. Tua Tagovailoa.
I don't know why they signed him to that. I do not know.
I don't know either.
He's had every chance, and I just it's an
$54 million guaranteed.
Well, and then he threw his teammates under the bus, and so I was reading those reports when we were down in Florida about how they're still mad at him, even though they're winning games, but they can't trust him now because of the locker room stuff and all that other things that go along with that. But they signed him, so tough.
All right. Evaluation time might be up. The end of year three is a critical time for first-round picks at quarterback. Bryce Young with the Panthers.
Keep him. Tim Hasselbeck even said the other day the growth of Bryce Young has been pretty remarkable.
Young guys more likely to face competition than a replacement. J.J. McCarthy. I think he's been hurt.
He's been hurt, and they really like him.
Michael Penix.
They like him. Yeah, I mean, he's had a bad game here. But everybody has bad games.
This is a great line. Placeholders for someone more exciting. That's what they said about our show.
Yeah, right? give a few weeks. They'll ruin themselves.
Dylan Gabriel with the Browns.
I mean, he's awful.
Yeah.
Well, is Shedeur Sanders that bad?
He's pissed people off too much.
I don't get that, but Dylan Gabriel's not good at all.
Tyler Shuck with New Orleans.
Terrible.
He has not been good. So there you go.
Plus, I can't pronounce his name.
It looks like show.
Faux show. Tyler Faux show. I mean, the Saints. My goodness.
By the way, what are the Falcons going to do with Kirk Cousins?
Keep him, right?
They're just paying him starter money to be a backup.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Good for him. He's made all that money and won one playoff game.
Yeah.
So, you know, you think all these football people are smart. They're not. They're not. And like the Tua deal, I mean, they got bamboozled in that because everybody else is getting massive deals.
Right.
Well, we're not going to pay you that. Well, I'm going to leave. All right, take care of yourself.
Well, then Daniel Jones, that was another one. And then look at him with the Colts.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that's why we spend a lot of time talking about quarterbacks, because look at the good teams in the league. What do they have? Good quarterbacks. It's pretty simple. It's the only sport where that guy has got to be top level for you to win. You could have four good pitchers and still win the World Series. You could have four good hockey players and still win the Stanley Cup. But if you don't have a good starting quarterback, you got nothing. Nothing, Clay. Nothing.
Can you look at Rand Carthon's face?
What a helmet is he at? Is that his? He's in an office somewhere?
Yeah. Apparently, I just sent this to Dr. Crane to pull, but this is some podcast he went on, and he said the first text that former Titans GM Rand Carthon got after he was let go was from Mike Vrabel, who was let go by the Titans 1 year earlier. Carthon details his family's bond with Vrabel and what really happened in Tennessee in a thoughtful and wide-ranging convo on Tackle Pod.
Really? I mean, they couldn't stand each other.
Yeah, and doesn't he have an NDA?
He should have.
Yeah, I mean, Robinson has been very careful.
Rand's like, blank your NDA. What are you going to do? I mean, so look at him right there in this podcast, right?
Yeah,
and
he's
then look
wearing that hat.
Look when he got introduced for the Titans. I mean, it's what a fall.
Can I say this, too? Like, I liked him. Like, the person. Bless you. Like, he was a cool guy. He was fun to talk to. I just didn't think he was good at his job. You know, and that, I mean, that's the case sometimes. But, you know, from a just a guy, like, he was fine. He was you know, funny, but.
We had him. We only got to talk to him once. Yeah. At least I did on this.
All right. This is again, from the Tackle Pod talking about, I guess, his breakup with the Titans.
Sean McDermott, regular season record, immaculate. Nobody would ever think that he's a poor head coach. But do you think that...
Is that not it? That's not it. Okay. Yeah. I'll give you time. You just work on that. Because I want the Vrabel part. Because that's what this is supposedly about.
Yeah. Well, the rumor is that...
just foul.
Yeah, you're good.
That Vrabel texted Callahan when he got let go.
Wait, that could have been a question of the day. What did
I think
Vrabel,
we did do it.
Did we do that?
Yeah, I think we did have the question. What did Vrabel text Brian Callahan?
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, right? and so I guess Vrabel's got it, and they said, why? And he's like, oh, he's a fired coach, and, you know, we were both fired from Tennessee, and just wanted to tell him a few things. And so that's it. But Vrabel reaching out, like, and doing that. I mean, what would he say to Brand Carthon?
I don't know. Let's go to Marshall, who wants to weigh in on the quarterbacks. Marshall, what's up?
Yeah, I just going back to that list you guys were talking about, and I guess it's kind of they're sort of on top of the AFC South right now. But surprised you didn't mention Trevor Lawrence. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
He wasn't on that list, but I don't know.
And he locked into a massive contract?
He's locked in. They just signed him. And look, Trevor Lawrence is not a bad quarterback. I think, again, they need to build more around him. And they're getting there. I mean, I think Travis Hunter, you know, he's out for the year now, and that hurts. But, like, he can be a weapon for him.
Well, reading the reports for the Jacksonville, they like him. His teammates like him, admire him, think he's a good quarterback. So, I think he's got something. I don't think he's the next Joe Montana, but I think he's a little bit better than average. He's not great. He's not really good, serviceable. Would that be it? What's below good? What's good's brother? Not bad.
Man, I think he's good.
Yeah.
Decent.
Absolutely is.
Yeah, decent.
Decent's
good. There you go. That's a good one.
Nice guy.
So I don't know about him.
By the way, there's a guy here at Bar Alliance looks just like Tommy Lasorda.
Oh, wow. You're right.
Clay, go ask Mr. Lasorda for an autograph over there. And if he gives you one, I'm leaving.
Please don't leave me.
Because Mr. Lasorda is no longer with us.
Yeah, that is true. Hey, by the way, we're here at the Omni Nashville Hotel. We're at Bar Lines, but Notes is doing a Thanksgiving brunch.
Ooh.
11 to 4 on Thursday, November 27th. You can get reservations at opentable.com. Or you can call 615-782-5300 and use extension 3512 to get your reservations in for Thanksgiving brunch. I mean, they got a lot of cool stuff, stuffed local trout, seared country ham, field squash, buttermilk biscuit dressing, a grilled okra and smoked sausage, just to name a few things that they'll have on the menu coming up on Thursday, November 27th. Call for reservation 615-782-5300. Use extension 3512. That's at Kitchen Notes here at the beautiful Omni Nashville Hotel.
I'll say it, like, it was a lot of shit out there about he and I not getting along. Like, that wasn't true. There was never a moment where we didn't get along. And truth be told, my daughter, she's just got home from practice. She's walking through the house. Probably the first few months after Vrabes got let go, like, the screensaver on her phone was a picture of her and Vrabes. from pregame, because they had a really close, you know, unique relationship. But, you know, like I said, the day I got let go, the very first text message I got was from Vrabes.
Wow. That's awesome.
And was like, hey, man, you know, sorry this happened. Wish you nothing but the best. You know, let me know how I can help you. You know, type of thing.
As Rand Carthon talking about the text message you got from Mike Vrabel, which, look, I mean, I guess truth be told, we don't know. We don't know what exactly has all gone on in that place. I mean, I think we have some ideas that there seems to be a pattern of a couple things go bad, the owner gets pissed off and makes a change.
He didn't read the text message. He didn't get a text message. I want to know what it said. If you're put it out
I
there.
Don't know.
I want to know word for word what it said.
I don't know.
Yeah. I get text message. Yeah. I mean, so we assume it's something great and wonderful.
Yeah.
Said, sorry it didn't work out for you. Too bad.
What if he was just like, hey, man, that sucks.
All right. You're still getting paid? I mean, how did it go on there? But there were all kind of stuff coming out of St. Thomas that they did not get along.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was – because Vrabel wanted his guy. He knew Wren was a terrible hire. And then we see what happens. Now they're all gone. They're all gone, man. John Robinson, Mike Vrabel, or as he calls him, Vrabes, whatever. And now Wren gone. So they're all out. And it's just – but the, you know, common denominators are an Amy Adams, I hate you club that's going on with these guys. I don't know. So I mean,
here's what I like.
Bad.
Do we think that they hate her, or they're just now? It's just like things are so ridiculous, and she's just done this to herself that they just don't care.
Could be both.
Yeah,
and they know it's not getting any better.
Yeah,
they
truly
know she is an absolute disaster as an owner, and you see what's happening right now.
Yeah,
everything goes back to her. I'm not blaming. I mean, yeah, Robinson made some bad picks, and so did Ram made some bad picks. But in the day, she's the owner of the team. And so she's done things which are just truly
terrible. Look, I mean, I still think – I don't think Rand was a good general manager, but I also will respect the fact that he probably didn't get much help with the meddling either.
No, not at all.
You know? I mean, so – I mean, how can you truly judge someone on their job – in a situation like this,
what's worse? And when it's all said and done, hi there. Thank you for coming down and watching the show here at the Omni. You're so sweet. Thank you. Pretty too, right? AJ Brown or Vrabel's success? Which is going to hurt worse? AJ Brown or Vrabel's success? Which hurts worse?
I think both.
I think it's 50. I mean, 50 AJ, right
AJ's, are, AJ's already won a ring. He's played in two Super Bowls and he's got a ring. So that, but look, now I will say this. I think Titans fans would sign up to still have him on the team, but you can also see he's a little bit of a pain in the ass.
I mean,
look, Brown? Yeah. I mean, look at
– he's pouty.
To that extent, the Titans were right, but I think you figure out a way to deal with that because he's a good player.
Yeah,
like, there's a lot of players that – you know, are pains, but you figure out a way to deal with it because they're a good player. I think Vrabel, because I think, Ty, even the ones that didn't like Vrabel are going to look back and go, well, he was a really good coach, and you put him in the right situation. And look, they did it right. They had draft picks. They had – you look at this offseason. They had the quarterback. They used draft capital and cap space, and they built around the quarterback.
Right. Yeah,
and they built with his expertise on defense, but you know people. I saw a comment on Twitter or something that were like, "Well, Vrabel inherited a lot," and it's like, "No, he didn't. He like almost half his coaching staff or some of the guys that we were saying he needed to get rid of here. They just have they have better personnel.
They're getting it done." Nick, read what you just texted us.
Just there's more room for opportunity with Mike Vrabel. I think out of the A.J. Brown Vrabel thing, Mike Vrabel could coach until he's 70 and have five Super Bowls under his belt as a coach, not as a player.
That's strong. That's a good point. Thank you for that. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's something. I mean, you go back and look at the 2021 Titans team and see where it went to even three short years in 24. I mean, you're like the massive downfall of this Titans football team. I'm sure it's not unparalleled across the National Football League, but my Lord, I mean, you had it all right here, and you couldn't sustain success. You couldn't sustain all the egos and things that happened. that went in with all this, and now you're looking this. You've become the worst. You're in the AFC Championship game in 19. You're the number one seed in 21, and now you are the worst team and franchise in the National Football League. Somebody, there should be a 30-30 on the fall of this football team.
And I mean, I want to say that it's going to get better and they're going to win again. And you know, the odds are in the favor that they will. But it's really hard to see that right now because I can't see her staying out of the way.
Right. I mean, and you brought the point yesterday. I mean, the fact that this game on Sunday is available basically nowhere shows you how far the franchise has fallen and how nobody cares.
And get this.
And don't send me emails, Titans, about you got the beam in over at the new Nissan stand. I don't care. Then now you can start adding glass on top. How about start adding players?
Yeah, that
and
too.
Talent. I don't care how the beam is doing over Nissan Stadium. I know y'all are giddy about that, but you're going to carry the same awful football team into that stadium in 2 years. What's it going to be like when it's overtaken with Cowboys and Steelers fans who are booing your team inside your brand new stadium? Because you know what? It's going to happen. It's absolutely going to happen.
Well, and the other thing too, like, talking about the game not being many places, Tracy Wolfson just tweeted that here in a few weeks that the top crew at CBS is going to have Kansas City and I forgot which one. They're going to be in Kansas City 4 straight weeks. That's what happens.
Really?
That's what happens.
Oh, man.
When you win, you get the top crew. And when you don't win, you get what's left.
That's right.
You know, that, and I'm sure the crew that's doing the game this week, which was – Chris Myers and Mark Schlereth are like, hey, at least we get to go to Nashville.
Yeah, have a good time. Yeah. We got to call a game, but my, it's Nashville, though, and Broadway that's going on.
Yeah.
And all things that are happening down there. And that's it, man. I mean, nobody cares. You got one guy who people resonate with, maybe two, because Cam Ward's the number one pick in the draft, and Jeffrey Simmons. Other than that, you don't have anything. I mean, you really don't. You watch these NFL Network and the commercials about jerseys. They'll show 31 other teams where they show this. And when they talk about this team, we'll see an Eddie George jersey or a Steve McNair jersey.
Yeah.
It's not our Derrick Henry.
Jeff says the biggest mistake they ever made was getting rid of Floyd Reese. Yeah. Well, that was
a long time ago.
It was. Ben says Vrabel's a good coach with competent quarterback play. Then Tannehill went downhill, and then he had Levis and Willis. See, I don't know if Tannehill necessarily went downhill, but the bad drafting and trading of A.J. Brown, what do you have to work with?
What did
Derrick Henry. That was it.
I mean, you take Ryan Tannehill's best target, A.J. Brown, away. He's got nobody.
Yeah.
He had nobody.
Vrabel said it. We have to be great around him.
Yeah.
And that was 100. Tannehill, I'll remember sitting, it was like my first or second year on the air, sitting on a show and being asked, do you think Ryan Tannehill can win a Super Bowl? And I said, yes, but the team has to be perfect around him.
Yeah, that's right.
He's got to have the right pieces. He cannot be like a Tom Brady or a Peyton Manning or a Drew Brees or a Patrick Mahomes and make everyone else around him great.
No.
That's just not who he is.
Not at all.
That's not an insult. That just is what it is.
And you see what's happened with the football team that's going on right now with all that. I got to bring up something on our next
segment.
Can I take
a call,
please?
Yeah,
do that. Yes,
all right. Adam in Portland wants to weigh in.
Hey, real quick, Chase, man. So, a couple things. Number one, I think, yeah, Andy's got egg all over her face. Every time somebody leaves Nashville, it gets better, which a lot of people are doing lately. We all thought Harold Landry was burned up. He's awesome. We thought Vrabel sucked. He's awesome. It seems like we're just seeing it more and more, man. And so she's got egg on her face for sure. And I never remember her dad getting a whole lot of people hating him on the way out. Now, you could correct me on that if I'm wrong. But the main reason I called you, because I love that quarterback conversation you had last segment. Can you imagine, just imagine for 1 second, that Neil O'Donnell and Brandon Allen switched roles. Imagine that Steve – down and we have Brandon Allen come in. We never go to a Super Bowl that way. And then can you imagine if Cam were to have Neil O'Donnell at his backup? Like, I think we wouldn't be a one-win team right now. We'd probably have 4 or 5 at least. And a lot of the clumsy mistakes he's making, I think a good backup quarterback could help. And I just want to see what you thought about it.
Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it.
Adam, did Neil O'Donnell not come in when Steve got hurt? I don't recall in the 99 season.
He did.
So I don't recall them.
Steve never got benched.
Yes, that's the point.
Yeah,
correct.
No. Yeah. Neil only came in when Steve got hurt.
Got hurt, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it. They're not – we're not – you shouldn't bench Cam Ward, but it wasn't one of those things like, oh, Steve's playing so bad. You got to. It was never that way.
Yeah.
They knew – Floyd and Jeff knew how to handle Steve. They did the perfect thing with him, sitting for the 2 years, and then he rolled after that. But, yeah, I mean, it's – yeah, I get what you're saying, but O'Donnell never started because Steve was bad.
Yeah.
Because he was hurt.
Right.
That was it. All right, this is really bugging me when we come back. Pro athletes, you got to stop doing this. It's a big topic right now on all the websites. You got to stop doing this, and I'll tell you what that is when we come back.
Yes, we'll do that next, live from the Omni. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Thursday, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes, at Bar Lines. It's amazing what pops up on Twitter sometimes. And, you know, we're at that time of season where you got porch pirates that are out there. That if you order a bunch of packages and they'll come steal them.
Right.
Well, everybody and their brother now has a ring or a camera or whatever. And people have planted packages on their porch that if you shake them, they blow like a dye on you. And it's the funniest thing. And like the people that are stealing getting mad, like, I'm going to sue you.
So that's not AI?
I don't think so.
So you steal a package from me, a dye bomb explodes, and you're mad at me?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah. I mean, I get the blue dye exploding. I think it's hilarious because, like, porch pirates are the lowest scum of
Earth. There's one where a guy was watching, and he, like, comes out his door with a paintball and starts shooting somebody with a paintball gun.
I love that. And there's also a video of a guy in the back of a Tesla. When they come up to ride on his Tesla, he shoots him with a paintball. And they get mad. He's like, and he keeps shooting them. I'm like, rapid fire with paintballs, and they walk off. All right, I want to bring this up. I don't know if you saw this on Sunday, but it was during the Lions-Commanders game. Wide receiver Lions, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Amon-Ra.
Scores a touchdown, does a Trump dance. Everybody loves it.
Because Trump was there.
Trump was there. Now he comes out yesterday and apologizes for doing the dance.
Oh, why?
Why would you apologize to anyone for doing that? If you're offended by the Trump dance, you got bigger problems in the world.
Right.
You remember when Cam Newton came here and scored the touchdown of 2015 versus the Titans, and the lady wrote an op-ed to the Tennessean how he needs to stop dancing? And Cam came back and said, I hope your kids had a good time.
Yeah.
I'll send them a football or a helmet or something. But Cam Newton was like, I'm going to celebrate when I score a touchdown.
Yeah.
And that is not offending you or your family.
Right.
So he – Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Amon-Ra.
Amon-Ra, whatever it is. I'm not going to pronounce his name correctly now because I'm mad at him. And he says, first of all, if I offended anyone, I do apologize.
No.
I did not mean to offend anyone. It was just, hey, we're having fun.
Yeah,
Here's the cop-out. If any president was at that game and had a dance, I would have done it. It had nothing to do with the president, who the president was. All right, whatever.
Who cares?
And Trump was the first president since Carter in 78 to attend a game, whatever. And then we just was having fun, doing the dance, nothing more, nothing less. That's all I had to say.
Right.
And now he's coming back, you know, oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish I didn't do that. I'm sorry I offended you.
Come on.
Athletes, if you do it, that's great. You scored a touchdown. Do whatever you want to.
Right. Just own it.
You scored a touchdown. Like when Baker Mayfield planted the flag in Ohio State when they beat him.
Yeah.
And they all got mad. Beat Baker Mayfield. Don't let him plant a flag in the middle of the 50-yard line. That's on you.
Somebody told him to apologize, which he should have just said no.
No, I'm not going to do that. You're offended by a dance.
Right.
I don't get it. I truly don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
And so others have come out and apologize. I mean, it's happened in the last couple of years. I apologize. Whatever, man. Just come on. You did the dance. It was funny. Everybody laughed at it. Now, 3 days later, I shouldn't have done the dance. Sorry about that. Whatever, man. I had to get that off my chest. I feel better.
Okay. All right. No, I agree. I think there are too many times where whatever it is that an athlete will do something or say something and then backpedal, and it's just like, come on. It's done. Just move on. Now you're just putting more fuel on the fire.
Yep.
with
now,
it.
So. Now we're talking about it because right. of that.
Right. So, yeah.
Good Lord.
Kind of with you on that. Greg Wyshynski going to join us at 2 o'clock. We'll get more into the Predators. They're in Sweden and, you know, maybe what the season outlook the rest of the way is for them. We'll talk to Greg about that. Titans, do they practice today?
They do. So, real
do
quick,
we care?
Run me through the Preds, what we're doing the Preds. So, I know they play tomorrow, right?
Yep.
At noon.
Well, the pregame at noon, puck drop at 1 Nashville time.
Playing Pittsburgh.
Playing Pittsburgh. They're okay. playing Pittsburgh in both games. So, Friday afternoon and then Sunday morning, the game will start at 8 a.m. That was redundant. 8 o'clock.
That's right.
I caught myself.
I thought you were doing it as a joke. That's fine.
Yeah. 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Sunday morning.
All right.
So pregame at 7, puck drop at 8. So breakfast with the Preds. And you can watch Willie and Mace on TV.
Cool. All right. And then they come back after Sunday.
Yep. And then we're off for a few days to kind of get acclimated. And then on Saturday, the November 22nd, they will play Colorado.
Back here at home.
Yep.
Okay. Well, good. Well, yeah, next week. CMA week. I know somebody's like, stop calling it CMA week. The Preds don't like that. CMA week. So there will not be Bridgestone next week.
Correct.
Yeah. So yep. There we have it.
Yep. So what's going to be curious, and we'll talk more about this with Greg and after, is what does this team look like when they get back?
Yeah. Right?
I mean, I think it is a fair question to ask. On November 22nd against the Colorado Avalanche, is Andrew Brunette behind the bench? Because I find it really hard to say yes to that if they go get swept by Pittsburgh in Sweden on a national stage, on a bigger stage.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I don't know how you stick with that because they're not playing well.
Did you say this or you heard the rumors that, you know, maybe shopping Saros, maybe?
Well, I think that's just kind of an internet rumor. Okay. I don't buy that. I don't think he'd shop. So I think Stamkos is the one that maybe he's trying to figure out a better fit for him that isn't here.
Okay.
But the problem is he's going to have to eat a lot of that money.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I mean, if you lose two, I think Brunette's done. If you win two, I think he might get a little bit longer. Don't say it.
a stay of execution.
Yeah, right. Oh, man.
I don't know. I just, like, again, and this is, you know, I keep saying this because this is just how I am, but, you know, I'm not fire the coach guy. Like, I think we're too quick. There's a lot of people that are too quick to go to that. I just look at last year, I look at the start of this year, that it's not getting better. And yes, you can blame the roster. That is certainly a part of the discussion.
Right.
And Barry Trotz is to blame there. But you can't change all the players. You can change the coach.
Dr. Crane says on Jeff Merrick podcast about who Saros rumors to the Oilers.
Yeah, and that's with Wyshynski, so we'll ask.
Oh,
we'll
is
ask
it?
Greg, we'll ask Greg about that too. So,
okay, all right.
Yeah, and look, the Oilers. If the Oilers could, I mean, that's what they're missing is goalie.
Boy, I'd take a nice little payroll.
But if you did that, if they traded Saros, they are basically waving the white flag and saying we're rebuilding.
Good, that's fine. I have no problem with that. Come out and say it.
But here's the problem. You traded your top goalie prospect.
Yeah, but he's no good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's...
He hasn't been good. You're right.
All right, that's it. So their record right now, they are last in the Western Conference with 14 points. One behind St. Louis, three behind Minnesota. So winning two games would be really good. But Colorado and Dallas, Winnipeg, and Utah. Colorado, Dallas, Winnipeg, Utah, and Chicago are all now at 20 points. And you're slowly, slowly being left behind.
Yep. Greg on our text line says, Big Joe needs his own Rex Rant type segment. He's got 3 hours of that, basically.
I do. Rex Rhodes very condensed to 5 to 7. Rex Rhodes rant is very, very good.
Yeah.
Very power on and good.
And then every now and then you get Robbie with one, which is good.
Yep. But Joe's are good. And I'm more – a lot of things don't bother me. But stupidity really does. And this Amon-Ra St. Brown thing, just really stupid.
Yeah.
Sorry, it is.
Coming up next, we talk to Greg Wyshynski. He's the senior NHL writer with ESPN. We'll do that on the other side. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.